May you pray for us. We begin. Father, we thank you for this day, this time together. Thank you for these students, and I thank you for their faith, their membership in your church, their desire to learn and grow, the promises you've made in your word to them and about them as children of the covenant. Father, we thank you for giving us your word, and we pray that we would walk in its paths, that we would live in its light, that we would embrace its truth, that your word would search us and reveal to us our idolatries and our sin patterns that we need to put to death, that we need to smash and forsake. And I pray that these sin patterns in our lives would be replaced by righteous habits, by virtue, by obedience to you as our creator and our redeemer. And so, Father, we commit this time to you and pray that you would meet us here and be with us, that you would speak to us through your word. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so we've been looking at Proverbs and wisdom literature off and on. And we have last week started looking at the tongue, what Proverbs has to say about our speech. And we looked at some general things last week. This morning, we want to get into some specifics. So let me ask you a question. What are some ways that we can sin with our tongues? Some ways that we can sin with our words, with our speech? Written?
Blasphemy.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Speaking out against God. Yeah, absolutely. Grant?
Gossip.
Okay, gossip. That's a big one. We'll talk about that one in just a minute. Yeah, what else?
Lying.
Okay, lying. Yeah, dishonesty. Okay, yeah, that's a big one as well that Scripture certainly addresses. And the ninth commandment, do not bear false witness against your neighbor, is clearly prohibiting lying. What else?
Abuse.
Okay, yeah, you can verbally abuse somebody. You can be very malicious in your speech. You can call people names and run them down. Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of these. Let's single some of these out and explore them a little bit. Let's talk first about gossip. That's what Grant mentioned, and it's certainly a big one. Open up to Proverbs. Whether you've got a Bible or a Bible app. We've got several verses here we'll start out with. Because, again, remember, Proverbs, once you get past the first 9 chapters or so, it's not nearly as systematic. At least it doesn't appear to be as systematic. And so it's not like all the proverbs about speech are grouped in one place. That's not the way it works. So you kind of have to look around if you want to look at Proverbs thematically. But let me assign some verses here. Let's see, Annie, do you have a Bible? Okay. Mary Addison, you want to read for us Proverbs 11:13? And then Hallie, do you want to read 16:28? And then Hannah Kate, maybe pull it up on your phone. You can get 18:8. Oh, I'm going to need mine too. Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah, y'all can share. And then Garnett, would you want to get, do you have a Bible? Okay, Kate, you want to read 26:20-22? And then we'll throw in this also, Grant, you can read for us Leviticus 19:16. So let's start, and I don't remember who I gave what, but Mary Addison, I think you had Proverbs 11:13.
Yeah, what did I have?
You had 16:28, I think. Oh, Hallie had 16:28. You had 18:8. Okay, go ahead.
Whoever goes without slandering reveals secrets, but whoever is trustworthy and pure keeps the thing covered.
Okay. Yours said whoever slanders. Say that again, Mary Addison.
Whoever goes without slandering reveals secrets.
Okay. Yeah, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. The way my translation has it is a talebearer reveals secrets. So we've got in view here a talebearer or a slanderer. I'm putting this under the category of gossip. It's somebody who reveals secrets. And that's contrasted with a faithful spirit that can conceal a matter. Somebody who can keep a secret. Okay, Hallie, this is 16:28, right? Okay, a whisper separates friends, okay? The gossip, what we might call a gossip in Proverbs, is often referred to as a whisperer, okay? Because a lot of times when you've got a piece of gossip that you're going to share with somebody, what do? You go, psst, come over here, I got something to tell you. Okay, you whisper about it, okay? You don't want other people to know. That's how gossip works. So the whisperer is a gossip. Okay, 18:8.
The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body.
Okay, why do we like to gossip? Okay, there's something about it that feels good. We'll come back to that in a minute and talk about it. Okay, 26:20-22.
For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And when there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As trouble to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body.
Okay. It is amazing how well people get along when there's no gossip. But as soon as the gossip starts, it breaks friendships apart, and we'll explore why here in a few minutes. And then just for good measure, Leviticus 19:16.
You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord.
Okay. Yeah, that text, when it says slander, that could also be read as a gossip. Okay, someone who speaks ill of his neighbor towards others. In fact, that's really where we need to start, is let's get a definition of gossip out there in front of us. I've been talking about it, but what exactly is gossip? If you had to define gossip, what would you say?
Telling inappropriate things to inappropriate people.
Okay, that's good. I like that. Inappropriate things to inappropriate people. Annie, were you going to... Talking about people behind their back. Yeah. This is the definition I came up with. It's inappropriate conversation about someone else to inappropriate others at an inappropriate time and in inappropriate ways. Okay, so you're saying things that don't need to be said about other people, to people who don't need to hear them, in a time, in a place, or a setting where it's not appropriate for you to share this information. There are times where it's appropriate to share negative things about other people. Okay, if you know that somebody is hatching a plot to set the church on fire, then you should let some of the authorities around know. Okay, I mean, you know, there are times to do that kind of thing. But a lot of times we say things about people behind their backs that are entirely inappropriate and unhelpful. Now, sometimes, if a gossip is confronted about what he's doing, he'll say, well, but what I'm saying about so-and-so is true. Does that solve the problem? Why not? I mean, why can't you say something if it's true?
Because a lot of times, if you're saying something about them, and you say it's true, you're saying it was negative about them.
Right.
And if the person wasn't there to witness that negative thing, they don't need to know about them because that can mar their image of the person.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. We don't gossip about people's virtues. We only gossip about things that are negative about other people. Somehow, putting other people down makes us feel better about ourselves. It's really a way of justifying ourselves. Gossip is a sin that feeds our self-righteous inclinations. We want to feel righteous. We want to feel superior to other people. And gossip is a way of doing that. It's a way of pushing others down and elevating ourselves. And you may say something that is technically true about the other person, but what you've done in effect is weaponized the truth. Scripture is very clear. We're not to use the truth as a weapon to hurt other people. Okay, sometimes the truth, you know, telling the truth can hurt just as much as if you lie about somebody. And you can confront somebody who's gossiped, and they maybe that they're sharing things that they believe to be true, and they'll say, oh, well, I'm just telling it like it is. Okay, but Scripture does not tell us to tell it like it is. Scripture tells us to speak the truth in love. And as soon as the truth is separated from love, it ceases to be the truth, at least in the sense that it ought to be the truth. It's distorted. So to speak the truth in love means the way you're motivated to speak and the context in which you speak and the way in which you speak. Love shapes all of that. And so when you go to say something, you're asking yourself, is this an act of love that's going to build others up? Or is it, have I weaponized the truth? Am I using the truth as a weapon to harm other people? That's the question you're going to ask. Now, gossip is also, we've seen in Proverbs and in Leviticus, can also be referred to as slandering someone. It's referred to as talebearing and whispering. It's the failure to conceal things that ought to remain concealed. Of course, gossip doesn't just have to be spoken. We have social media, we have texting, we have email, we have all kinds of ways that we can now gossip about other people. And of course, the biggest difference there is not that, gossip's gossip, however you do it, but the web actually gives us a way, and our other forms of communicating, like our phones, give us ways of actually spreading our gossip to the ends of the earth a whole lot faster than we could previously, which means that we've got to be even more careful because our speech can be even more dangerous when it's online. You put something there, you can't take it back. Pastors make up stories about this kind of thing all the time, but I remember one preacher, and so I don't know if this is a true story or not, but he talked about somebody who had come to the pastor to confess gossip, but he didn't really think his gossip was that big of a deal. And so the pastor said, well, this is what I want you to do. Go home and go up on your roof and cut open a pillow full of feathers and just let those feathers fly and then come back and talk to him. So he does, and he comes back and he says, okay, I did that. What's the deal? And he says, well, now I want you to go gather up all those feathers. And he's like, well, I can't do that. That's not possible. And he's like, well, that's what your gossip does. It just spreads your mess everywhere. And you can't pull it back in. You can't undo what you've done. That's why it's so harmful. To speak ill of another, Annie referred to it as being behind somebody's back. To speak ill of another, or to speak in a way that makes other people look bad, okay, to make another person look bad, when that person is not present to refute the claim, to repent of it, to clarify it or to explain himself in some way, is to use our words to tear down and destroy. And that's what the Bible is forbidding. So Leviticus 19 is really clear. Talebearing, slandering, gossiping destroys people. Proverbs 16:28, gossip or whispering or talebearing provokes conflict and it separates friends. It can destroy friendships. No one shows up and says, hi, I'm the town gossip and I'm here to destroy all your friendships. Hi, I'm the town gossip and I'm here to ruin all your relationships. And that never comes out just that way. But gossip does destroy friendships because eventually, a lot of times, it will come back to the person you have gossiped about. They will find out what you've done. And it will put a big strain on your relationship. And not only that, but if somebody gossips to you about somebody else, what do you think they're going to do when you're not around? Probably gossip about you to somebody else. Yeah, if they're in the habit of gossiping, they might tell you things about other people that look bad, but they're also going to say things about you to other people when you're not around. It'll make you look bad. It's a character flaw. You have to be aware of somebody. So it breaks trust. And this is what we see in Proverbs 26, 20 to 22. Which describes, well, it puts it this way, where there's no wood, the fire goes out, and where there's no talebearer, strife ceases. Okay? So, if you don't gossip, those fires of conflict tend to go out. Okay? People actually kind of get along. There's peace. But if you gossip, that's just like feeding the fire. That's like putting wood on the fire. It's like pouring gasoline on the fire. The info might seem juicy, it might be fun to share or fun to listen to, but it brings strife, it disrupts friendships and families and churches. Matthew Henry, the great Puritan Bible commentator, compared gossip to fireballs that we shoot out that just set everything on fire and cause all kinds of destruction. Of course, that's James' picture in James chapter 3 of the tongue as a fire. It's been set on fire by hell. And is very, very dangerous. Now, let's look at the New Testament really quickly here, because there are some New Testament passages that deal with this as well. Somebody read for us 1 Timothy 5:13. Let's get 1 Timothy 5:13, and can somebody get 1 Peter 4:14 to 16? Okay, Ridley, you want to take 1 Timothy 5:13, and then who wants to get 1 Peter 4:14 to 16? Okay, Kate, can you grab that? Okay, 1 Timothy 5.
Besides that, they learned to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not.
Okay, this is actually talking about, if I remember right, this is talking about younger widows. These are women who have lost their husbands, and so they're a little bit aimless. And actually, if you back up a couple verses, he says, if you go back to verse 11, you'll see, refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And then it goes on to say, they become idle, wandering about from house to house. Okay. Back in the ancient world, they didn't have telephones they could pick up and call somebody. So how did they spread the gossip around? You might have somebody who goes from house to house. And they go to one house and they kind of share what they know, and they pick up a few new little tidbits, and they go to the next house and they share what they've learned and pick up some more gossip, and that's just what they would do. And this is singling out women, and maybe this is especially a sin of women, a sin that women struggle with more than men, though certainly men can be gossips and slanderers and talebearers as well. I've certainly seen more than enough men involved in this kind of sin. But maybe it's one women are especially prone to, since they tend to be more verbal than men. But note the word that's used in verse 13. They're not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not. They're described as busybodies here. Let's also get the 1 Peter 4 passage. Kate, you want to read that for us?
Did you say 14 through 16?
I think it's 14 through 16, yeah.
If you are a soldier, be related to Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a murderer. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name.
Okay, so note here what's going on. Peter's saying, look, if you're going to suffer, if you're going to suffer for Christ, that's a good thing, to be counted worthy to suffer for Christ. If you're reproached, if you're attacked, if you're slandered for the name of Christ, then blessed are you. Okay? But he says, don't suffer for doing what is wrong. Don't suffer because you've murdered somebody. Okay? If you're being threatened with persecution, don't lash out and become a murderer or a thief. Don't suffer because you've stolen from other people or an evildoer, okay, somebody who does wicked things, who's known for doing wicked things, or a busybody in other people's matters. Okay, the New Testament word for gossip, to be a gossip, is that term busybody. It's there in the 1 Timothy passage we read. It's here in 1 Peter 4. And look at what the kind of list, if you become a gossip, look at who you're grouped with by Peter. You're grouped with murderers, thieves, and evildoers. Okay? So God, that's how serious gossip is. Because if you gossip against somebody, it's a form of murder. You haven't taken their physical life, but you damaged their reputation, which threatens their ability to live. You haven't stolen property from them, but you've stolen something from them nonetheless. You're a thief. You've stolen their reputation from them. And you become a kind of evildoer with your words if you are a busybody. So let's talk about that term busybody. What does it mean to be a busybody? What does that term call to mind? Is a busybody busy for real? No, back in the 1 Timothy passage, Paul talks about these women who become busybodies because they're idle. It's like they don't have enough work to do, and so that's why they become busybodies. A busybody is... What are some other ways you would describe this person? Someone who's maybe just a little too interested in other people's business, right? And they haven't really taken care of their own. Okay, I can pretty much guarantee you, when it comes to a busybody, they haven't been doing what they should have been doing. Maybe their own house is not in order. The Bible probably hasn't been read. Prayer time hasn't been had. They haven't been out serving other people. They've got too much time on their hands, if anything. But it's probably not that they've actually got too much time. It's just they've neglected other responsibilities because they're so interested in getting this juicy gossip and passing it along. So they're prying into the affairs of others, always kind of asking questions to, because they've got to be in the know. I mean, that's what drives a lot of gossip, is this desire we have to be important, to be people who are in the know. Okay? There are other places where the New Testament addresses being a busybody or a gossip. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3, 11 and 12. I'll read this one for us. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Okay, what does Paul want busybodies, gossips, to do? Instead of being busy getting themselves entangled in other people's affairs, spreading the latest gossip, what does he want them to do?
To work,
yeah. To get busy in another way. To get busy working on things that are actually productive, that actually matter, that will actually make a difference in the world. Okay. The busybody is somebody who's out there kind of meddling in other people's affairs, trying to gather up info they can then pass on as talebearers to other people, as whispers to other people. And Paul says, no, you ought to be so busy working and serving that you just don't have time for that. Now, think about this. We've talked so far about the gossip, the one who spreads the evil report about another person. What about those who hear it? Let's say you say, okay, I'm going to cut off gossip. I'm not going to be a gossip anymore. I'm not going to be a whisperer or a slanderer or a talebearer or a busybody. I'm going to mind my own business. Okay, that's the great Pauline principle. Mind your own business. Don't be a busybody. Mind your own business. But what about if you hear gossip from somebody else? What if somebody does the, psst, have you heard, to you, and they want to be a whisperer in your presence? What do you do? How do you respond to that? I mean, for there to be gossip, there's got to be not only a speaker, there's got to be an audience. Gossip doesn't have any value unless there's a market for it. There's got to be people who want to hear it for this to go anywhere. And I would say gossip is not just a sin of the tongue when it's spoken. It's also a sin of the ears. We want to hear it. And Proverbs, again, talks about that. It talks about how, you know, hearing the latest gossip, it's like a tasty morsel and goes down to the innermost person. It tastes good. It feels good to be on the receiving end of that gossip. Okay? Certainly to speak gossip is sin. But to listen to gossip is a problem as well. So what do we do if we're in the presence of somebody who gossips? What should we do?
Get away from them.
Okay. Yeah, if you find there's somebody out there that this is just a habitual thing for them, maybe you just need to spend less time around them so that you're not accessible to their gossip, okay, to the messages they want to spread. Okay. This is a little thing I came up with, which, I mean, I wouldn't say I always do, but it's the kind of thing that you could think about how to apply this in different situations you might find yourself in. If someone in your presence starts passing on gossip, and sometimes it might be, you know, you and just another person, sometimes it may be a wider group. But one question to ask the person is just to say, hey, does this really need to be shared? Is this something that I need to know, or something I have a right to know? And again, you know, there are contexts. I mean, let's say that you're babysitting for some kids, and the parents come home and they say, well, how were the kids? Okay, it's not gossip to say, you know, the kids did X, Y, and Z wrong. That's not gossip. That's giving a report to an authority who has a right to know. They have a right to that information because they're the parents who can pass that on. Or the teacher is talking to parents about a student. That's not gossip. The parents have a right to know. Okay? So there are situations where the answer to that question, do I have a right to know this, would be yes, you do have a right to know. Maybe even you have an obligation to know and to do something about it. But when we're gossiping, you're giving information to somebody who doesn't really have a right to know that information. They don't really have a need to know that information. So that's one question to ask is, do I need to know this? Or should this be shared? Do I have a right to know this information? Another question to ask, I found this one really shuts down gossip quickly. Where did you get your information? Okay? In other words, We want to start to probe the accuracy of the information. Lots of times things that get passed on are just not accurate. And so you can ask, where did you get your information? Is it accurate? Is it verified? Scripture requires two or three witnesses to any matter for it to stand up. Are there others who know about this? Have you gone to the source? Okay, think about the busybody that is described going from house to house. That information is not verified. And it's kind of like that telephone game where, you know, the message gets garbled as it moves from one end of the chain to the other. That's the kind of thing that's happening. No doubt these things are being exaggerated and twisted and distorted to make the gossip even juicier. And so that's another question to ask. Where'd you get your information? Is it accurate? Another question I found that can really shut down gossip is to say, you shared this with me, what do you want me to do about it? Okay? So let's say that, one of your friends at school shares with you something that happened over the weekend, some sin that somebody got themselves all tangled up in over the weekend. What should we do about it? Okay, you got this information. It's not just a juicy bit of gossip for us to sort of revel in. What are we going to do about it? We've got a friend who is in sin. What are we going to do about the situation? Gossips don't want to do anything about the information they have. They just want to share it because they are delighting in the flaws of other people. See, this is where the appeal to our sense of self-righteousness comes in. We delight in the flaws of other people, and that's one of the things that makes gossip so tasty to us. Okay, but if you show the gossip that you're not going to do that, you're not going to delight in the flaws of the other person, you'd actually like to address the situation, then that puts it in a whole different context. And actually what I've found is that gossips are just not interested in that. They're not interested in actually solving a problem. They like, you know, they thrive off of the drama. And so they're happy to stir things up. But if you talk about going and talking to the person that's been gossiped about, and that's really the last question. What do you intend to do with this information? You can even say, hey, look, you said that so-and-so has sinned in this way. Why don't you go talk to him right now about this situation? Well, again, your friend the gossip has no interest in that whatsoever. They're not interested in going and confronting somebody, calling them to repent or what have you. They just want to keep the gossip chain going because, again, it makes them feel good. They're enjoying delighting in the flaws of other people. So those are things that I think are crucial in a situation where gossip has come up. And I know somebody, I mean, I heard this story from a woman who moved to a new town, and as she was getting to know people, she realized that a lot of the women in the church did like to gossip, really, about one another. And so it was, you know, the did you hear kind of stuff. And so she started to use some of these questions whenever it would happen. She would say, well, have you talked to this person about it? Well, maybe we should go talk to them right now. And she quickly found that they didn't want to share gossip with her anymore because she would not play along with it. And it kind of ended it. And that's the role we can play as well when we hear gossip going on. We can put an end to it, usually with one of these questions, because it shows that you're not interested in playing the gossip game, the whispering game, the tale-bearing game, the way others are. So that's gossip. Let's talk, we can... look at some of these others more quickly. Grant?
Can you gossip to your parents? Or do you think as their children, we should be telling them stuff?
I think to let your parents know what's going on, say, in your school, your work, or your neighborhood context is fine, provided it's done in the right spirit, because you're looking to your parents as authorities and teachers, and there may be some things that they need to know or that they can provide wisdom. So if you want to say, if you come home and say, you know, I saw so-and-so cheating on a test at school today. If you're telling your parents that, I don't think that's gossip. If you're coming to them asking, you know, what should be done about this, that kind of thing. I suppose you could gossip to your parents. I mean, I think it's certainly possible if you're just sharing information about people to kind of delight in their flaws. But if you're looking to your parents as authority figures to help you figure out what to do in a given situation, or to, you know, so that your parents can be guides and mentors to you, I think that's appropriate. That goes back to, you know, it's sharing inappropriate information with inappropriate people. Okay, it might be fine for you to share certain things that have gone on, you know, say in your circle of friends, with your parents, because they're appropriate people to have that information. Okay, but having said that, I would say, yeah, I do think it's possible to gossip with your parents. You know, if the point of the conversation is just so that you can sort of revel in the flaws of another person, but if it's something that your parents should know so they can advise you and guide you, then that would be totally appropriate. So, does that help?
Yes, sir.
Here's another form of speech that Proverbs addresses, and just for the sake of time, I'll read these. This is Proverbs 15:7 and 15:8. I'm sorry, 15:18. Proverbs 15:18. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. Okay, the book of James, in James 1:19, addresses the same kind of thing. This is angry speech, the speech of the wrathful man, which stirs up strife. But the man who is slow to anger is able to keep contention and infighting to a minimum. So when it comes to anger, there are certainly situations where it is appropriate to be angry. Paul says, be angry, but sin not. You know, don't sin in your anger. There are certain things that ought to anger us in a certain kind of way. We ought to be good and angry over certain kinds of sins. But when we're angry in a good way, our anger is channeled in a constructive way towards a solution of the problem. When we're angry for our own sakes, our anger becomes contentious. And so, for example, a lot of times we'll just vent. We get angry and then we vent. And we, you know, just go off on somebody. That kind of thing is what Proverbs is talking about here. When a man is quick-tempered or a woman is quick-tempered and then that spills over into their speech, that's always a disaster. Proverbs shows us the wise person is going to be slow to anger and is not going to get drawn into something contentious. And so what's the way to avoid getting angry in an unrighteous way? You know, say somebody has wronged you and you get angry. What's the way to counteract that anger? When somebody's wronged you and your response is to be angry and you want to lash back at them, what should you do instead? What do we want God to do with our sin? I mean, God could be angry with us because of our sin, but we want God to
forgive us.
Yeah, we need to forgive one another. And the degree to which you can forgive somebody, it depends certainly to some degree on their willingness to confess the sin and repent of it. But even if they're not willing to acknowledge the sin, you can still have a forgiving spirit towards another person. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Okay, when you're in a conversation and it starts to get heated and intense and there's conflict escalating, okay, a soft answer turns away wrath. Okay, learn to give soft answers. Don't say things that are going to further provoke the situation. That's kind of our tendency. Okay, that language there in Proverbs 15:1 of turning away wrath, that's a description. That's language that is usually used in the Old Testament for what sacrifices on the altar do. They turn aside God's wrath. To answer softly, in a sense, you have to sacrifice yourself. You have to die to yourself. Giving a soft answer is basically like making yourself a sacrifice. That's how it's going to feel. You're going to want to give a harsh answer. But Proverbs says the way of wisdom is to give a soft answer. Will Rogers, the comedian, once said, "People who fly into a rage always make a bad landing." Okay, if you're quick to get angry or you fly into a rage over something, It's really hard to land that, to get yourself out of it. Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. So it takes all kinds of self-control and discipline to form a fighting force into an army that could take a city. Proverbs says even better than that is learning how to rule and discipline your own spirit, to put your own spirit in order. Okay? Well, I'll tell you what, we'll stop there. We didn't get to talk about as many different kinds of speech as I would have liked to this morning, but we got to talk about gossip. We got to talk, tail-bearing speech, slanderous speech, and we got to talk about angry speech, and I think that's good. Those are probably the two biggest that I would guess we all struggle with. Any other questions or thoughts or comments on this, Grant?
When someone comes to you and says they've been gossiping, do you let them tell you, or do they usually tell you what they're gossiping about?
I would not ask what they've been gossiping about. I would say if you've been gossiping, you need to repent, which means you need to stop the sin. If you have wronged anybody, say harming their reputation or something like that, you need to go do what you can to make it right. You need to find a way of making restitution, and then you just need to leave it at that. That's really all you can do. So, but no, I mean, if somebody confesses gossip to you, you don't need to find out what all they've gossiped. That just becomes one more link in the chain of gossip. You just say, look, just go, just repent of it. Make right whatever you can.
So,
as a pastor?
As a pastor.
Oh yeah, no, I wouldn't ask what somebody has gossiped about.
Yes.
I mean, not unless I needed to. And there are times where people brought things up, and I've said, I don't think that's really something that needs to be discussed any further, because it's not something that we need to have a talk about. Now, again, there are situations where you may need to bring something to the pastor or the elders of the church. But here's your rule on something like that. If there's a problem, you don't need to tell anybody who's not going to be part of the solution. So, I mean, to go back to my example of teachers telling parents or a babysitter telling parents about something their kids have done wrong. That's not gossip, because the parents are going to be part of the solution to that. The parents can do something to fix the issue. Okay? And, if there's a situation where the pastor or elders need to be involved, then yes, they're part of the solution, and it's appropriate to talk to them about that. Okay? But if somebody has just been gossiping, you don't need to ask what it was. I don't need to ask what it was. All right. Anything else? Okay. So I think next week y'all are going to start choir. And then when we come back, after choir, Cameron Edenfield's going to be teaching this class some. So I don't know exactly what the schedule is going to be, how much he'll teach and how much I'll teach, but he'll be getting involved a little bit more. So let me pray for us when we dismiss. Father, we thank you for this day, this time together that we could spend in your word. I pray that you would help us to not be busybodies, but to be busy with the responsibilities you've assigned to us. I pray that we would be careful and guarded in our speech, and also careful and guarded in what we're willing to listen to. I pray that we would not be party to gossip, either as sharers or as a willing audience. I pray, too, that you would help us to control our anger in our speech, that we would use soft answers to make the wrath of others subside, and that we would not use our speech as a way of venting our own anger in unrighteous ways. I pray that you would help us to control our speech, to control our thoughts, to exercise discipline and control over our own spirits, for we know this is even better than taking a city. We pray that you would meet with us now here shortly as we gather with your people for a service of covenant renewal. Pray that you would bless us with your gifts, that we would go out from our gathering today strengthened and renewed, knowing that we're forgiven, assured of your love, having been given new forms of wisdom and fresh insight into our lives and the world around us, and equipped to serve you in the coming week. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.